Hello, and welcome to The Guild That Keeps On Giving, a podcast about a group of friends and their thoughts, ideas, and experiences relating to D&D. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Patrick, and let's go talk to my friends.
Welcome to The Guild That Keeps On Giving, the show that regales with tales of glorious triumphs and epic failures among friends. This week, we'd like to welcome back Chris, who's been away for a while, doing super important business things. Probably has a briefcase and all that now.
I do.
But we are here to talk about the fourth Unearthed Arcana from the 1D&D project. And I believe it's titled Druids and Paladins. Is that right?
That feels right, even if it's not. That's what they should have named it. So.
Well, it is. It says Player's sure. Handbook, Druid and Paladin.
Oh, well, there we go. I was close. All right. So,
yep.
In the virtual studio today, we have Chris. How's it going, Chris?
Hello.
There it is. Matt.
We've missed that.
How's it going, Matt?
It's good.
And Rick. How's it going, Rick?
It's great. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm all right. I'm excited to talk about this new Unearthed Arcana. It just dropped literally 22 minutes ago. So we're looking
at it for the first time.
Yeah. Anybody want to start anywhere in particular?
How about the beginning?
Bold.
That's so clever. This is why he had to be gone doing business.
Right, exactly. He's got that business at the sense. Beginning.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. So we, like I said, just dropped about 20 minutes ago. Today is February 23rd, 2023. And both Matt and Chris were discussing the wild shape and the differences, because one of our guild members who isn't here today, Weston, the druid, is his favorite, and he loves him some wild shape. And I think that might be a huge change for a lot of people.
Well, let's dig into that. So they only have the Circle of the Moon subclass ready
for
playtesting.
Yeah.
And I guess the Oath of Devotion for the Paladin, looks like. Okay, so what is the big difference here with the wild shape?
Basically, if I'm understanding this right, you either get Animal of Land, eventually you'll get Animal of Sea and Animal of the Sky, and you use those stat blocks as opposed to, like, you can flavor it to be like, I'm a horse, I'm a deer, I'm a whatever animal of the land, I'm a lion, but like, you don't get to use those stats for that creature. You use Animal of the Land stat block. Or when you get Animal of the Sea, you can be any kind of Animal of the Sea, but you don't get those monster or creature features. You get Animal of the Sea stat block. And I think as you like level up, it looks like you get more features from some of them. Like, I think I was reading at some point, you get the climb speed at 5th level. Yeah, your land form becomes more powerful. You unlock the climb speed and multi-attack. One of these is like you can become a tiny creature in any of your forms. That's a level 11. So instead of having to sift through all the potential creatures you've ever seen in your life or read about or whatever, you can just be any of them, except your stat block is just one of these stat blocks.
Yeah, this is a pretty huge change. If you guys haven't seen, at level 13, you get something called Alternating Form. This allows you as a bonus action to switch out of your wild shape form, be you for up to a minute, switch back in, and it doesn't use any extra charges. So this is a big change in versatility. I think this is really cool because as somebody who played a Moon Druid, remember when we first started the other campaign, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this character should be so fun and I can't stand it. Because, if you're in that wild shape form, it can feel like I'm trapped. I want to search. Now the battle's over. I want to search, but I don't want to lose my form or what have you. I think this is really cool. I think it will get many more people to consider that who felt the same way maybe I did, or, people who don't want to just run around as some kind of an animal for an hour. It's a pretty big change. I mean, this is a core feature of the druid, and so to have this at first level, I think is really cool too.
Yeah, you get it at first level. You get two uses of it. They regain at a short rest. Oh, you regain one expanded use
at
a short rest, and then get two at a long rest. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. And so, Animal of the Land. Now, it says you continue to use your hit points and hit dice. So, you don't get any extra
hit points. I missed that. Is that right?
That's interesting.
I skipped right over that.
Your armor class is 10 plus your wisdom modifier. Your strength and dex equals your wisdom score.
Wow.
Con, intelligence, wisdom, and charisma use your scores. You have keen senses. You get a bestial strike, which is a d8 plus your wisdom. And once you're fifth level, you get two attacks.
Interesting. Oh, okay. And Animal of the Land is the only one where you get your strength score equal to your wisdom. Otherwise, the only score that is substituted with your wisdom is dexterity in the Animal of Sea and Sky. Huh.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, so here's something cool. You can choose your appearance and your size. They don't have to be the same thing. And example, it says you can be a small elephant.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
I'm picturing that tiny giraffe.
The elephant? Oh, a tiny giraffe.
Just a tiny giraffe, you know. You could be I don't know. Just weird.
That would be adorable.
It would. So you're not really getting those the extra hit points to stay in that form.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge change. And it is. I feel like I don't know for sure, but I can imagine Weston screaming poo poo garbage at the top of his lungs at this because I think it is like if you're a druid player typically, like that's a big feature is that like, well, I can basically just kind of put myself behind a hit point shield by taking on like whatever form. As a dungeon master, I love this change because I've always thought it was kind of like eye rolling that you could be so close to death and then it's like, oh no, I'm an elephant and I'm not anywhere close to death or whatever. And it's like, okay. I don't know. I don't know how this will be interesting for playtest purposes because I feel like in the past druids, I've never worried about the druid going down, really.
Right.
Because they've always got some sort of animal shenanigans that they, you know, get into. But we'll see.
Do you remember earlier editions of D&D, namely, I think maybe first and second, when you wild shape, did you, you used, I believe, your own hit point, maybe not, but you healed something, right? When you wild shaped, wasn't there?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, you could heal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember that. So I wonder if they're sort of getting a little bit closer back to that.
Well, one of the features near the end, no, it's like 15th Wild Resurgence. When you wild shape, you get to automatically do your Healing Blossom thing, which is a new feature. So then you can start, like, once you wild shape, you also heal up, which is a boost there.
That sort of answered my question. I mean, that seems very close to what it used to be.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
Okay, so second level, you get Healing Blossoms and Wild Companion.
Yeah, I think
that's and these are part of your channel nature, so you get wild shape.
I think you use those in place of...
Yeah, like you get the two uses, so you've got three different abilities coming from a two-use ability, it looks like.
So yeah, until level 15, you can't wild shape and healing blossom. I mean, you could like at subsequent turns maybe, but like not at the same time. But those eat those up. I'm trying to read in 15. Oh, okay. So it doesn't, when you're level 15, it doesn't use another use of wild shape. It just is part of that same one. Anyway.
Yep. And 17, you can just cast spells in wild shape.
I have really mixed feelings looking over the druid initially. Because on the one hand, it feels like they took a huge nerfing. That being said, I don't necessarily know that that's a bad thing, per se.
We're definitely going to have to play test this and figure it out. There's so much different
here. This is a huge, huge change.
Yeah, so the channel nature is similar to the channel divinity of the paladin and the cleric, the way they're doing it. And so you can cast Find Familiar as a wild companion.
Yep. That's similar to what there is now, right? With the alternate class features.
Yeah. The Healing Blossoms just is a 30-foot radius or 10-foot radius sphere centered on a point, and then you roll a number of d4 is equal to your wisdom modifier. Add that all up, and you can spread those points around.
Yep.
Archdruid, okay. Which is now the 18th level feature, has taken a huge hit.
Right.
Now you just get you regain one channel nature when you roll initiative. In addition, the primal magic that you wield causes you to age more slowly for every 10 years that passes. Your body age is only 1 year, as opposed to you can channel wild shape and unlimited number of times.
That's so dumb.
That was so out of balance.
Yeah.
Just to be able to wild shape and get that pool of hit points over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Every round. That was so crazy.
And to go from like 2 to then unlimited, it just made no sense whatsoever.
Right. I like this. You know? I obviously like this better. But again, yeah. So I think this is really funny because they talked about in the video yesterday that, like, teasing this, that, like, they design each of these new classes for the people who love to play these classes. They were like, we want to design the cleric for the people who love to play cleric. We want to design, you know, I don't know if they said druid, but the druid for the people who love to play druid. The funny thing about this is reading this document makes me, someone who has looked at druid many times and always gone, no thanks. It makes me want to play druid, but I'm almost certain that it makes people who love to play druid go, what the hell? Like, what did you do to my boy? Like, it's a Godfather meme. Like, how is this for the people who want to play druid?
So my top two classes are Paladin and Druid. So this is a cool UA for me. And I toyed around with a homebrew years ago where you could, when you wild shape, you just had a pool of hit points. It didn't depend on which animal you chose. And that allowed it to be, you know, so you're not like, oh, if I pick this animal, I have to, you know, I'll have this many hit points. And you didn't have to worry about that. You just had very similar to their, you know, animal of the land. But the only difference was is that you had a pool of hit points as well, whereas the animal of the land does not in this UA. You just use your regular hit points. The advantage to this, and I also allowed you to, in my homebrew, to go in and out of the wild shape kind of at will, because you had that pool of hit points per long rest. And if that was used up, it'd be like temporary hit points, I guess, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I'm going to say, this is my hot take before we've play tested anything, is that my feeling is, I don't mind if you want to say you just keep your hit points and like, but then I think you should be able to turn into an animal a lot more often than twice, because I'm not part of the whole, like, why I feel it needed to be restricted was because it was like, well, then I'm getting so many more hit points all the time. But if I'm always just keeping my hit points, I don't know why it matters. Like, why can't I turn into a spider and then a owl, and then I mean, I get the flying and stuff, but like, I don't know why I can't turn into animals more often if it's not actually giving me that huge crazy buff.
Yeah, right. If anything, it's weakening you, because you know, I mean, you have one attack, your armor class is probably going to drop. Yeah, it's interesting. We'll definitely have to see how that comes out in the play test. The Circle of the Moon. I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. You can cast abjuration spells in wild shape at third level. Yeah. You can use unarmed strike as a bonus action.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's not, that doesn't matter if you're a wild transformed. So you can use the unarmed strike as a bonus action while transformed, but that's not the bestial attack strike from the animal of the land, right?
That's what I was confused
about. I don't think it would be.
So, So you get your bestial strike and you get an unarmed strike, which would be what? Doing your strength damage?
I think it would be a standard unarmed strike. One,
right.
That needs clarification because to me, if I'm reading this, if I'm reading it, yes, the words that you're saying make sense. But if I'm just thinking about this logically, I'm in my beast form. I'm getting an unarmed strike. My beast isn't armed. So why wouldn't it just be another bestial strike? Because I'm just basically swatting twice, you know, like that's what it makes sense in the fiction in my mind. So I don't know why that's how I would interpret that. But I totally agree that on paper, looking at it, it says unarmed strike as opposed to bestial strike. And it's even that's a little confusing. Everything. So I am confused as well.
Well, I mean, that's why they underlined it and italicized it, I think, is because you just go to the glossary of terms and it tells you exactly it's just an unarmed strike, like you would get if you were a human.
And I get that, but I'm just saying, like, in the fiction, what's the justification for that? I'm an animal until my bonus action and then my regular arm pops out and I punch them.
Well, an unarmed strike. But an unarmed strike doesn't have to be with your arm. I mean, it could be anything, right? A headbutt.
Could be a kick, a headbutt.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. The tail. Right, so something slap or something.
That's not your claws. Dinosaur. Let's say you're a
beast
or whatever. Maybe you backhand them. You backhand them just for the flavor of it. I don't know.
Sure.
Maybe you're a pimp lion. I don't know. Oh, what are you doing your time off?
I mean, every lion is that's true. Lion, but
that's, check out my mane.
That's fair. That's interesting.
There's a lot to unpack.
It really is.
It's crazy different. Way more so, I think, than any of the last three. Wait till we get down to the paladin stuff. There's some differences there for sure.
I was reading ahead. Yeah, and again, there's a feature in Paladin that is a throwback to like first edition. The Faithful Steed. Like call steed, you know, back in the day.
Right.
When paladins had to be bright and shiny and no one really knew how to play them because it was almost impossible to play that archetype. You got this steed companion and it looks like they're bringing that back. Faithful Steed at 5th level. Just a fine steed spell, but I mean, I like that, you know, maybe even just for nostalgic reasons, but I do feel like there's some things from the earlier editions that were really good that they just sort of skipped over. You know, I'm sort of glad to see some of these coming back.
I'm glad to see it, though I still don't think Divine Smite should crit the way that it does, but it does still, even in this one. But I do enjoy the, like, caveat final paragraph that they've tacked on, which is that you can't use your Divine Smite more than once during a turn, and you can't use it on the same turn you've cast a spell. Which I think, just in my future predictive sense, no one's going to remember this little paragraph when you're actually playing. But at least it's there to say, like, if you're chaining a bunch of stuff, like, you can't then, like, you're not always going to be able to get that off if you've cast a spell in that turn or if you've already used it for something else or whatever.
Have you been able to, in 5th edition, Divine Smite on a spell crit? I don't think I've ever seen that. It's only on melee, right?
Only weapon attacks. Yeah, and melee weapon attacks at that.
Yeah.
But if you cast something in that turn, and I don't know what the circumstance is, and again, I don't think this is a huge buff at all, but it could happen where it's like, because now you can also cast, they also get cantrips, paladins. So you could imagine a world in which, as a bonus action, I cast my cantrip, and then I try to attack, and I crit, and now I will tack on a Divine Smite, but you can't because you chose to do your little cantrip move, which there's nothing wrong with that. But
it also seems the way they've worded this now, if you hit melee, you crit, you Divine Smite on your reaction, you couldn't cast a spell either because it's technically the same turn. So let's say you had a feat that gave you, like, I don't know, I forget what's out there, like the, anyway, you couldn't, it seems like you couldn't use your reaction to cast a spell either. So it kind of takes that option away too.
Right. They did take away the restriction of it being a melee weapon.
Did they?
Right.
I didn't even read that.
Strike.
Yeah, it says
weapon
or an unarmed strike. So it could be a bow. It could be
Wow, okay.
That's good though, I think.
I gotta say, I like that, but here's the thing I've always wished they would do to paladins, is not make Divine Smite smart. That I feel like really fixes the Nova ability of a paladin that I think is broken. And that is, you always wait to crit, and then you just smite, and you do stupid damage. And, like, the paladin is so strong already, there's so many things they can do.
I totally agree. I feel...
So you're saying that you should call it before?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. I think you should not be able to tack on a Divine Smite after you've attacked. You need to call it before you attack. Because, and then if it crits, great. Have your big explosion of damage. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just think it's silly. Like you said, like, why is this feature, especially now if you're saying you can shoot it with a bow. I shot my bow. I see it go. I hear it land and I go, oh, that went pretty good. And like, I snap my fingers and now all of a sudden it's extra damage.
So do you,
like,
are you guys saying you should waste the spell if it, if your hit doesn't hit?
No, that's what I would say is different. Yeah. Right. So, only expended on a hit, much like your smite attack. So, branding smite, you call it up, you've got it, you swing, branding smite's not gone. It's only gone if you hit and it does its thing and then it's gone. I would say the same thing.
Exactly. I totally agree. And
because this makes every paladin want a crit fish, you know?
Like, right. That's the thing. No one will use their... It becomes, and I'm currently playing a paladin in our game, and it's like agonizing because there's times I want to smite, but I'm also like, but it's not a crit, so am I wasting it? And
Yeah, I've noticed sometimes
it's agonizing. It's the worst part. It's the worst part about being a paladin is feeling like, and if I get a crit on this next hit, everyone's gonna go, so you should have waited. And I'm gonna like feel like an asshole. But at the same time, it's like I feel like in this moment I might be able to finish them off if I would just do that extra damage. Right. So I try to play it the way I actually want it to be played, or I try to remind myself to do that, which is like, if you feel like this is the moment, just do it. But it's my least favorite part of paladins.
Yeah. Yep. I've wanted that fix for a long time. I really do feel like, because again, like, just the reasons why you said as well. You know, people sit there, oh, should I smite? Should I not? It's like, just make it a part of, like, that's a big part of the paladin. And then it's like you get everybody crit fishing, and I don't like that. Yeah. It really bugs me. I don't know why, but it does.
It does me too. I totally agree.
Excellent. We should start a club.
Yes. Just start a podcast about it.
No crit fishers allowed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ponds closed, assholes.
I never play a paladin, so it doesn't bother me.
It's not closed because this UA definitely still allows it.
You know, but this is the time. If you're going to write it in, write it in.
Oh, sure.
Seems like they're half-ass listening to us.
Yeah.
So another thing I'm seeing that I will say I like is, are these class features where at the start of initiative, you gain one use of X. So you're never not able to do your cool thing, like Wild Shape for the Druid. I guess maybe Smite for the Paladin or whatever it is. You get one use. So at 18th level, Divine Conduit, whenever you roll initiative, you gain one use of this class's Channel Divinity. I think that's cool. And especially if, because, you know, when 5th edition first came out, what was the idea? 6 to 8 combats per, like, per thing, you know, like, before you rest. And it's like, nobody does that, I don't think. Or if they do, it's pretty rare. You have 6 to 8 combats before a rest. So there's no way you're using your stuff, which I think is the most fun part of your character, you know. 6 to 8 combats, there's got to be the majority of those you're not using your stuff. You're just swinging weapons or firing cantrips. So I think that helps a little bit, because it always sucks to have a fight and you're like, I can't do my fun thing.
Right. You know? I totally agree. And I agree for exactly that reason. Like, well, even if we keep slogging through, because that's the other thing that is an annoying feature, not just of this game, but almost any tabletop game I've played, is oh, well, I know we're in the middle of something important and we should, like, keep going. But, like, I mean, I used my spells, so, like, I need a rest right now. Like, and these kinds of features allow you to say, like, well, let's try to push, like, you could push on because, you know, like, well, I'm at least going to get one of those slots or whatever it is, you know, that feature back at the beginning if there's a combat.
Yep.
Because sometimes also as the DM, you're like, could you just go to the next room? There's not even a fight in there. Like, but, you know, you're camping out before the big finale because you don't know that the big finale is not a fight. It's a social encounter or whatever, you know. Anyway, I agree. I like that feature.
Yeah, the only concern I have with that are features like the Twilight Sanctuary, where it's like every combat you have this resettable pool of hit points. That's hard to deal with. You know, like as a DM, it's really hard to deal with.
Having played it and I'm currently DMing a character with that Twilight Sanctuary, it is busted.
It is, right.
I mean, if it used, a simple fix would be for it to use their reaction to give it, which means they could give that hit point out or help somebody out once.
Yep.
But everybody resetting their temporary hit points every single round.
Crazy. Bonkers crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really broken. I have an NPC and I was you know, just because the kids, we were arguing, you know, how powerful it is. And I was like, no, this is sort of game breaking. And they're like, not really. And I was like, okay, let me introduce you this new character. And they fought and they were like, oh my God, we took no damage. And I was like, exactly. You took no damage. Meanwhile, you really did take quite a bit of damage, but yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I think it's great. You know, this feature.
The Oath of Devotion. I'm seeing here that you get a free casting of an oath spell, so you get an extra spell slot, basically, but it has to be within your spell list for that oath in particular.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Because a lot of times you don't use those spells because you're saving them for your smites.
Yep.
As a paladin. And this way, you're not getting an extra spell slot. You get to cast one of your Oath of Devotion spells for free, which means you'll actually use it.
Ooh, here's the Sacred Weapon looks pretty cool, too. I like that. Add your charisma bonus to damage on your weapon. Give some light, and you can change the damage type to radiant. That's kind of nice. Lasts a minute. I think that's pretty cool.
That's nice, yeah.
Smite of Protection. Smite. That sounds fun.
It sounds like insurance you buy if you're going to fight a paladin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you get temporary hit points.
You can give temporary hit points, it looks like, right? Or
you can choose yourself or an ally
okay.
within 30 feet. So when you that's pretty cool. when you use your Divine Smite, you give temporary hit points to yourself or someone else.
Yeah.
That's a cool feature.
So that's nice. That's sixth level.
Yep. Aura of Devotion. Interesting.
So you and your allies are immune to charmed condition within your aura.
Yep.
And that's nice.
And it suppresses it rather than like ends it. If someone has it, they can come in your aura and it suppresses it. That's pretty cool.
I think the aura of courage is at 13th level. Okay. So you're immune to the frightened condition.
Yep.
And that's for all paladins.
Yep, I'm not seeing a ton of changes with this. The paladin looks tweaked more than anything, whereas the druid is like borderline remade in a way.
Yes.
Especially the moon druid.
It's crazy version. Different, the druid.
It is the most different any of them have been.
Yeah.
I would say so too.
Like,
yeah.
Everything else has gotten minor tweaks. And some of them in, I think, bizarre. Like, I think they took the bard, which is arguably one of the stronger, if not the strongest, class, and they tweaked it up, like they boosted it, and I was like, that's a weird choice. And then they've taken the druid, which, not that the druids aren't also very powerful, but they have totally reworked that in a way that is like, I'm not saying it's unrecognizable, but it is drastically, drastically different.
It is. And the moon druid is going to play so differently than it did before. so differently. Like you really, yeah. Like you were saying, if you're a Moon Druid player, this is going to be some challenging transition.
Right, because you can't be.
Yeah.
Like when Weston plays a druid, whatever it is, he's up in everyone's business because he gets these extra hit points. He knows he can, you know, he turns into a dinosaur and gets up in their face.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying no one's going to do that. Somebody's going to still do that. But that dinosaur is going down a lot faster. And when they do, so goes the druid. Like, they don't pop out and then they're back to themselves. Like, that's going to be a huge adjustment. They are much more like a traditional caster now where they need to stay back and let other people deal with stuff.
Right.
It's going to take a lot of getting used to.
I agree. I think it's really going to, I mean, again, I don't know for sure, but it just... Looking at it, my imagining is this is the wild shape is now no longer going to be the combat feature that it once was. I mean, people are still going to use it, but it's I think more people are going to start using wild shape to do out of combat things. I want to get up to the top of that building. Okay, I'm going to wild shape into a squirrel and skitter up there because we want to, you know, I want to spy on somebody, but I want to be unseen. So I'm just a normal little animal. Or I'm a dog or whatever animal I am, like, and that way I can get into places without being seen because I just think the combat utility has been turned way, way, way down on these. But maybe I'm wrong.
It doesn't seem like it.
I'm looking at some of the spells. Find Familiar now has another version called Otherworldly Familiar. So you get something similar to what the Pact to Warlock Pact would get with Pact of the Chain. And then with the Fine Steed, there's something called Otherworldly Steed, where this thing gets a bit more serious. These are interesting. And I'm trying to figure out, are these for the Paladin and the Druid? Doesn't say. Primal Spell.
So the Fine Familiar uses the Otherworldly Familiar stat block. Interesting.
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping ahead in this document, but I am now spicy pepper filled with rage because at the top of the document says, like, we're gonna have even more feats for you to look at, and I'm like, great, that's what I've been asking for all this time.
There's
brace three. Yourself, fuck you, Wizards of the Coast, because there's the new, and they're all epic boons of something. They're only 20th level feats.
Yes.
What kind of garbage is this? Is it because I keep writing on my survey that your epic boons aren't epic? Because guess what? They still aren't. Only one of them, the epic boon of True Sight, is actually useful or cool. And the other two are just like feats I should be getting in the middle of the game / things you could do with a spell. I'm so mad.
Yeah, they're not. Now, it says you can use feats from the previous installments of the Unearthed Arcana.
Well, of course, because they're not actually adding any. Every episode, I'm like, I want more feats at various levels so that you can customize your character. Basically, I want this game to turn into Pathfinder. Like, an easier version of Pathfinder.
Tell me about it.
Instead, they're just like, I know, we'll just keep adding. You'll have so many choices when you get to level 20, a level that no one ever gets to. Like, what? It's so infuriating to me. It's like...
It is. Oh, and there's a little design note here at the bottom of the feats. It says, design note, epic boon feats. We've received requests for epic boon feats to be more epic. We agree that they could use more pizzazz. With that in mind, we offer 3 revised ones here and we'll offer more in the future. But these aren't really all that.
No, they fail once again.
At all.
Whoever is doing these revisions, I'm like, it's the same person who did the Ardling. You're not getting the revision part of this. Like, when I say make it epic, right. I mean something that you can't do otherwise.
Otherwise, yeah.
So the epic boon of fate, you increase your intelligence, wisdom, or charisma score by 1. So you're
to a maximum
level,
of 30, and which that's
maximum
fine.
Maximum of 30. That's great, because before that, it was a maximum of 20. So now you can add 1 to 20 and get to 30.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet deal. That's good math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see how that works.
Because of the time you're 20th level, you could have read the tome, got the magic items, all that shit, and beefed yourself up to 29.
Yeah, if
I'm
you're
sure.
playing past level 20.
And you're using
Because there is epic, a note about... bonus feats at 20th level and like if you're going beyond that, but whatever. It's still, yeah, it's not that cool.
I just don't understand what people have against being awesome at like 5th level. Like, what the fuck?
Nothing. They have no problem with that. That's the problem. That's really the issue, is you are going to be awesome at 5th level. And so when you get to 20th level and you get to pick from these list of epic heavy air quotes, boons, you're going to go, I can already do most of these things.
That's what I'm saying. I've been able to do that for 15 levels. Why is this a thing?
So the Epic Boon of Fate allows you to roll 2d4 and use it as a bonus or penalty to another creature d20 test within 60 feet. And you can use it 8 times per long rest.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty cool, I think, in theory.
And it doesn't use a reaction. You can just do it.
Interesting.
Well, the not having to use a reaction, I guess, could be considered epic-ish. But the
right.
So 2d4, you're going to average 4.5. So
it's D&D. We have to round down, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think that could have been epic with the smallest of tweaks. Like I guess I'm missing what they don't get about revision as well, like or the word epic to me. If I'm a fucking 20th level wizard, do you think I give a shit about your 2d4 subtract average? Man, I will fuck you up and give you disadvantage and make you go to another plane of existence. But hold on.
Yeah.
Let me roll these 2d4. Oh, and
I also don't know why this is limited to the mage or priest group. Why at level 20 and I'm
I don't either.
My epic character, why can only mages and priests do this thing that isn't a spell? Like you just said, it doesn't even use anything. It just says I am like, basically it's like I control fate or I have luck on my side, which I don't know why a rogue can't.
The rogue already can do that. He has luck.
Think that maybe like you think that a rogue would
a connection to the gods.
I know. I'm just saying, why limit it? Like all of these epic boons for at least two.
Well,
Truesight's only the priest group. Never mind. Huh. I take it back. I'm even more like, why is that the case? I don't necessarily.
And the epic boon of spell recall.
So you can remember really good.
If you roll. When you cast a first, second, third, or fourth level spell, roll a d4, and if the number matches the slot, you didn't expend it. Which, again, like, in a world in which you have incredible luck and you roll those every time, that is epic. But guess what? Odds are that's not going to happen for you. Like,
25% chance that works.
It's a 25% chance.
And it only works on those spells. Like,
right.
Because at level 20, how many times am I casting these low-level spells? Like,
yeah. And who cares? Oh, great. I got my first level spell back. Fuck
off.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Like,
I just got done doing the wish spell, but stupid. I really need to press... not prestidigitation, because that's a cantrip, but I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, you're 20th level. You have so many spell slots.
It just blows. It blows my mind.
All these things.
Yeah. These are silly. That was somebody was like clocking out, and they were like, "I got to come up with one more thing before my shift ends." And they just
that bastard's been clocking out for 3 months, though.
Yeah, like, just
that's what I'm saying. Like,
you're really phoning it in, bro.
Here's the thing. It's bad. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you took the words "epic boon" out of this and just called this feat of spell recall and threw it down to 15th level or 12th level or something, you know, somewhere else in the progression, that would be an exciting feat that I could be looking forward to. And
yes, but 20th level,
you could even the prerequisites, you could even tack on that I have to have some other feat that I needed to take earlier or something, and I can have this in mind when I'm building. But I don't see how this is an epic boon. I don't see the problem is these are cool things at 5th and 10th level. They're way less cool when I can cast Wish.
Yeah,
I mean? They are.
yeah.
They have.
That's the problem.
Yeah, they. That's what I'm saying. They can't differentiate between what's awesome at 5th and what's awesome at 20. There's a huge disparity there because, like, at 20, I'm no longer caring about stuff I could do at 5th level because I'm doing 20th level shit right now.
Yeah,
it's so crazy to me that they can't just. And I feel like it's a lot of they're trying to play checks and balances where I want to make this guy awesome. Oh, I can't make him too awesome. Meanwhile, well, the Twilight Cleric's been doing shit way cooler than this Epic Boon for fucking 18 levels or whatever.
Oh my goodness.
Just get your shit together. Like, 20 is better than 5. It's solid, easy
the
math.
Disproportionate.
My thing is, if you're at 20th level, why the hell are you worried about the balance of the game anymore? Yeah. Everyone knows you're going out into the wilderness in terms of, like, the things you have to overcome slash the things that the party is capable of. Just go hog wild. Which is, like, to me, the reason you would keep making these epic boons is that, like, oh, well, I have free reign to just go crazy. But they don't go crazy. They go so, like, here's the lightest touch, and I'm just like, boo. I hate it every time.
Right.
Every document, I boo these epic boons.
It's because they lack the epic part.
Yeah, they should be called epic boo. And get rid of that N, because...
Yep. It's so true. They suck. A lot of them just are, like, especially, here's the thing. Not only is this underpowered, but it's only going to happen 1 in 4 times. So it sucks, and it might not even happen.
Right.
So it's like a double.
That's
suck.
So epic.
It sucks really bad.
Yeah.
It's so
it's
epic.
Only going to have a quarter of the time of the times I use a spell that's 1, 2, 3, or 4, like, level.
Yeah.
Because
cares?
I'm level 20, so odds are I'm probably in the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 range
that's
of my
it
spells.
Should be. Yeah. It should be like 6, 7, 8. And like, and it should be, I think, a lot higher possibility. I don't like anything that has a possibility of failure as a sort of a feature in that respect. You know what I mean? I would want it to work.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm just thinking about this epic boon of fate. It does sound cool to have 2d4 because, if you get an 8, that's a big swing. But also at level 20. The creatures that are hitting have these really high bonuses.
Yeah.
So when I roll 2 ones on my 2d4s and swing the die number by freaking 2, it's not going to make a difference because
nothing. You're right.
It's just not there. Like, I just think, and maybe I'm just a pessimistic person, but I look at these and I'm just like, that won't help me. That won't help me. Like,
right. Yep.
The lucky feat that you can get at 1st or 4th level now. The lucky feat, you can just make them re-roll it, which gives you better odds of them missing.
Right.
Exactly. So,
I'd like those things to come with a number plus dice. So there's never, like, the lowest end. I don't like that about Bardic Inspiration, to be fair. Like, your Bardic Inspiration is a 1d12. Well, that's a massive range. Like, you get 1 bonus to that attack or your saving throw or whatever, or you could get 12. Like,
right.
That's night and day. So for me, I would like it to be your proficiency bonus plus a dice.
Yeah, and maybe a smaller
way,
dice. But like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But that way, it's never sucks, you know? That's one of the biggest things. You mentioned Pathfinder, and I was looking at, I feel like one thing Pathfinder does really well is rewards, or there's an incremental thing. Like, when you hit something, if you get 5 above that hit, it does something better. If you get if you get plus 10, it's like a crit or something.
I love that feature.
Yeah, so this mentality of levels of success rather than black and white failure or success is something I really wish 5th edition would sort of embrace. And overall, for me, I've been looking into Pathfinder. I bought a ton of Pathfinder stuff. I really want more complexity in the mechanics for 5th edition. I know that's a bit controversial, but I found I'm so bored with combat in the lack of things you can do. I love how in Pathfinder there are skills that give you actual mechanical abilities to translate to combat and other challenges that are really beyond just did you find the thing, you know, with perception or like, you got acrobatics. Well, you can do this maneuver in combat. And it's like, that's really cool. You know, like, that's really cool because skills start to really fall off at higher levels. As you get higher levels, most of your skills are like, perception is always useful. Stealth is always useful. But it's like, how useful is athletics now and acrobatics? And, you know, a lot of these things that spells just supersede
right.
almost by default.
I really think, I know, like you said, like it is a little controversial to be like, I want more complexity in this game. Because I even as we say that, one of the things I'm excited about for this playtest is a simpler druid to dig into, potentially, if I end up being the one playing that in our playtest. But what I think it should be is put that complexity not on the dungeon master, but put it in the player's hands. That's where things like feats, things like you're talking about, like, let me build my character as complicated as I want to build it or as simple as I want to build it. And let me kind of dictate how much I want to get into the minutiae on some of this stuff. But you have to have, you have to build in those options, basically, for people to get into, I want a more complicated sort of thing. And I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't feel like they want to do that. And then at the same time, like the druid, arguably one of the classes with the most complexity, at least in terms of like you get to go, you ha- or not get to, but have to go through all these animals to figure out like what you want to be. Now they've just kind of gone, oh, psh, don't worry about that. That's gone. And so if that's your jam, which again, I know for a fact it's Weston's jam, that sucks to have that taken away because it's too hard for some people, you know, like,
yeah,
we'll all be playing Blades in the Dark here soon if they don't fix it.
I mean, I'm always up for that. So,
yeah.
Do we want to go over some of the new rules?
Sure. Glossary? Let's go over some, new rules
because there is some interesting changes.
Oh,
the smite spells are now a bonus action after you hit. So it's not concentration, and you're not holding on to that. So they...
Epic boom. It's
like a bonus action reaction. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a bonus action reaction.
Okay.
It's, yeah, all of them are like that.
Huh.
And there's a bunch of new ones, but in general, that's the big change there.
Oh my god, spare the dying!
Yes.
Huge change. You get one hit point now with Spare the Dying. That's a massive, massive change, in my opinion.
Yes, it is.
It's a concerning one also, because I can see the whack-a-mole already.
Yeah, it's a cantrip.
Yeah.
But you have to, the creature has to have the dying condition for it to work.
Right.
Which they changed zero hit point to a dying condition.
But mechanically being the same thing. They are basically changing a lot of the nomenclature, or the verbiage, but a lot of the mechanics are staying the same. They're just giving them different names, which I'm not sure if I like or dislike, but I don't know. Seems odd.
Knocked out. You have the unconscious. Okay, knocked out. Yeah, all right. Okay, I like that. I like differentiating unconscious and dying, you know, with zero hit points.
Right.
I mean, it's mechanically the same, roughly. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm really concerned about the Spare the Dying. I've always disliked whack-a-mole play, you know, where you have this thing where people are just getting brought up to one hit point. Since getting up from prone is so not challenging at all, and usually just means you stand up and hit something again, and then you just go down again, and it's like...
Right.
I don't know. I wish they would make dying, like, again, how we house ruled it, I think, right? With you get a level of exhaustion every time you go to zero and you're dying.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. And I've seen, you know, people who are like, oh, we use the your death save failures do not go away. So if you are brought to death saves again, it picks up with how many you had previously. So like if you were on two death saves and then somebody revives you, you know, whatever, gives you cure wounds or something, and then you get brought down again, you go back to whatever death saves you had.
Ah.
That seems kind of strong, you know, harsh, I guess, maybe, but it's interesting. It makes things more, I mean, when you have a spell at a third level spell that can bring the dead back within a minute, I think you're okay to go with more serious things like that, for me. And again, I feel like that's a little bit of a harken back to first edition, where the wizard could die if their familiar died. Right. If you remember that, you're first level wizard.
The last thing you wanted to do is have a familiar.
Yeah. Because it was a liability.
The psychic feedback would kill you when your familiar died.
So crazy. Like, who thought that was a good idea? Gary really needed a talking to.
First and second edition was... You can kill your party, and that's part of how it goes every single time you sit down to play. I think a lot of people don't want to go back to that, though, from what I read.
No. I don't either. I don't want it to be that harsh. But I do want to return a little bit to some of the here's what I notice. I notice players generally aren't afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't want players to be afraid regularly, but every once in a while, it would be nice if they paused and thought about something before just, and just ran in.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't want to create scenarios that I have to teach them with the stick. You know what I mean? I would like, and I'm not quite sure. I still haven't quite figured out how to do that. Aside from, you know, foreshadowing and describing, you know, things like, oh, you know, the legends are that blah 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 blah, and you know, you say something scary,
right?
But that almost makes them like, nope, we're going. And I'm like, okay,
right. Well, it's the problem of like it breaks the fiction, but for the dungeon master, it's like the players never do anything that makes sense for their characters if they were real people in the world, because they know.
Yeah.
Well, death doesn't work like it works if you were in the fiction where like you could die. It's like, oh no. Like the worst thing that could happen to me, if I got shot in the head with a bullet, I would go down and I'd have maybe one death save. Like, what?
I'd get
to roll a couple times and I'd come back. Like, so basically it's like everyone's Wolverine. And so everyone's an asshole. Like Wolverine, you know? Like, so it makes it weird to be like, we're telling a story together and we want it to feel like Lord of the Rings or, you know, something high fantasy epic. And then you're like, but you're also the Justice League, and you can't die. So just charge into everything, you know? It just kind of, it's hard, and it kind of requires the players, basically, to be like, even though I know I can survive all this, I need to act out my character a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right, so we ready to Wheel of Doom this thing, guys?
Heck yeah.
You don't even need to ask.
So we'll be rolling for our class and for our race, and we've already pre-decided that we'll be playing at level 14, and that Rick will be our dungeon master for the playtest this time around. So odds, we'll roll a d4. Odds, you're a paladin. Evens, you're a druid. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
I'm going to be rolling on roll 20 under the Telemore campaign. If you guys want to see and don't trust my numbers, that's where you will find them.
I will also go to roll 20. I was going to roll at home, but
I will do that too.
It looks like I will be a paladin.
Very good.
I will be a druid.
As will I. 4 as well.
Okay. Patrick, do you want to roll for Weston?
Absolutely, I'll roll for Weston.
How about we just make him a paladin?
Well, that's what he got by the Wheel of Doom anyway.
Rick, quit trying to influence the Wheel of Doom.
Yeah. I am a Wheel of Doom purist. Me too. So I just let the wheel decide. The wheel weaves as the wheel wills, as they say.
All right.
Wow.
All the Wheel of Time fans out there are going crazy.
That's right. Okay.
All right, so that's the D10,
and we're going to use for those of you at home, we're going to use the races that were published in the Unearthed Arcana documents, with the Goliath replacing the Ardling, since the Ardling has now been kanked, and we're going to use the numbering system that's in there. So the number that, or the order they're in, that will be what reflects on the D10. I have a 2 for me, and a 9 for Weston.
I got a 4.
Okay, a 2, I'm pretty sure, is going to make you a Goliath, because 2 was Ardling. And
nice. Goliath Paladin, that sounds awesome.
That is
cool.
Yeah,
it does. 9 for Weston means he's the last one, so he's a tiefling.
All right.
Tiefling paladin.
And a 4 is Dragonborn. I think it's a dwarf, because it's human, ardling, dragonborn, and dwarf.
Dwarf.
Okay. And then I need
a doodad. Need to roll. Chris, you're going to be a doodad.
I'm going to be Pykel.
I also got a 4, yep. So I will also be a dwarf.
Oy, oy. Cool.
Two dwarf druids.
This is going to be wild.
That's right. Brothers.
Ivan and Pykel, baby.
Step brothers. Did you touch my drum set?
That'll now 100% be the inspiration for my character.
Oh my gosh.
You can call me Nighthawk. Nice.
You can call me Nighthawk. I'm taking that right now.
Oh, I love that shit. All right. I think all that's left for us to roll is our stats. Is that correct? Yes. Would anyone like to go first?
So we're doing the 4-drop-1. Arrange them as you want.
Sure. For everyone at home, if you're not familiar with how to create your character that way because you've only used standard array or point by, like Rick just mentioned, you roll 4d6s, you drop the lowest one, and then that number that's remaining, you do that 6 times, and those are the numbers you have to play with for your statistics. I mean, I'll go if no one's jumping.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
So I have a 12, minus 1 would be 11. I have a 15 this time.
Yeah.
Nice.
I got an 11 again, an 11 again. I guess I'm just about the average Joe, huh? So
yeah, I was just thinking exactly that.
A 9. That makes me below average. That sounds right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and one more. I have a 13. Mm-hmm. All right. I might as well roll for Weston since I'm here.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, go ahead.
He really did get a 7.
Oh, a 7.
Shit. Yeah, a 13. A 13. A 16.
Ooh.
Nice. 6.
There we go.
Nice.
A 15. And a 9.
And that wasn't bad overall.
Well, the 7's horrible. No. But the rest
is
great.
Well, the 7 is. But
he got a 16, though, on one of them as well. So.
Yeah,
just,
yeah,
that's, you know, bumps
good.
That 7 to an 8. It's not bad. So yep. That's it for me and Weston.
Sweet. I'll go next.
Yeah, go for it.
Hey.
Wow.
Oh, my God. A 17.
Nice. Way to start it out. Nice.
To start. Seriously. Exciting. A 9. There we go. Bring me back.
Don't want that
to
glass
earth.
To get too full.
Oh, an 8. Oh, here we go. This guy's going to be good at one thing. Oh, a 10. Oh, wow, another 17.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, this is going to be such a weird character. 10. All right.
I think so.
1, 2, 3. Four. Yep,
awesome.
That's it. 17, 17, 10, 10, 9, 8. Wow.
Overall, not that bad, though.
No, definitely.
All right. Interesting. I will go next. Or since I'm the only one left, I will go.
By default, you'll go next.
Yeah.
Nice.
So... 14.
Mm. Ooh. Nice. That is 18? An 18.
Yep. 18,
dude. That is an 18.
That's as good as it gets. Yeah.
It is.
A 7.
Law of averages in that.
Balance that out. Yeah.
And a 15.
Nice.
Is that everything?
I think you got one more.
These are solid.
One more.
And so, another 7.
Yeah, I'll be honest, though. Some of your stats are going to be packed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got some characters to build for next week.
Heck yeah. Awesome.
And I have to come up with a 14th level adventure.
It's just a 1 or 2 shot.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I'll make a traveling outdoorsy thing.
Okay. I like both of those things, traveling and outdoors.
Awesome.
Well, right. Then. Cool.
So, is there anything you'd want me to focus on for the playtest?
Focus on making your enemies very weak.
So, and you just want to win.
Yes, I want to win D&D.
Yeah.
No, I really don't have a preference. I like not knowing, to be honest.
Yeah, I want to come into it blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris.
I'd like at least one puzzle.
Ooh, I do love a good puzzle. Good.
Yeah, like, that's true.
That's
my intelligence is going to be like a 9. That's going to be great for me.
It's great podcasting, too, to listen to us try to solve a puzzle.
yeah.
And fail multiple times. Yeah,
just sit here staring at a screen going, I don't know. I don't get it.
Can you move the 4 over by the 1? Can you move the 7 down? Yeah. We'll make it good podcasting. It's called good editing.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
The puzzle took an hour to solve, but it only took 10 seconds of actual playtime on the podcast.
That's true. No,
it's going to be very grapple oriented. Ooh, that's
excellent.
That's be a lot why of grapple. I won't be there next week.
Yeah.
Because I know that's sick. Everyone's favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Action.
I can feel it cold coming on as we speak.
And no magic. There won't be any magic.
That'll be weird for Paladins and Druids.
Yeah. Live in a world without magic.
Just kidding.
I think that's going to be all the time we have this week, guys. So,
excellent.
I appreciate you showing up. I appreciate your insights. And we'll do it again next week.
Yeah.
So, ending on a high note then.
Thanks for listening to The Guild That Keeps On Giving. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, or whatever your favorite podcast service. Also, don't forget to like and share our Facebook page, The Guild That Keeps On Giving on Facebook, our Instagram at TGTKOG, and our Twitter at T_G_T_K_O_G. For all of us here at The Guild That Keeps On Giving, thanks for listening and have a great week.